All right, Matthew chapter 6. Wow, that's loud. Matthew chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 9 down through verse 13, and I don't think this will be unfamiliar to anyone here tonight. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 9. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to His disciples in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, and He says this, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to Calvary's cross to make the payment for our sins. We're thankful, Father, that salvation is simply in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't demand of us to, Father, attain some certain infallibility or sinlessness. But, Father, You know that we're sinners. God, You know we couldn't save ourselves, and so You gave Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do what we could not do. And by His death on Calvary and the payment for that sin debt, Father, we can be righteous before You. We thank You for that. Now, God, You've left us here on this earth to serve You and to please You in our lives. Father, that goes against our nature. Our flesh, as we talked about it this morning, Father, doesn't want to subject itself to the Word of God. Doesn't want to obey the Spirit of God. We want to live our lives our way and do our thing and have nobody tell us what to do or how to do it. And Father, that even carries over into the spiritual realm. Lord, this evening we need to put ourselves in subjection again to the precious Word of God. We need to lift it up and make it an authority. Father, recognize it has power over us and we don't have power over it. Father, as we consider the subject of prayer here this evening, I pray, Father, You give us some insight into some things in the Bible. God, help us to understand why many of our prayers are not being answered. Father, we understand delays in our prayers. Father, we understand that Your delays, as we said, are not always Your denial. But God, there are some times where You have just flat-out refused or not answered our prayers. I pray, God, that this evening, as we look at Your Word, as we see what it says, as we put it together, we would understand our failures, God, not Yours. You never fail in the area of prayer. If there's any failure, it's on our part. And so, Father, we come wanting to learn, wanting to know from Your Word what it is we need to do to have our prayers answered. Bless Your Word to each and every heart. We pray, Father, that You would challenge us in this area. We pray most of all, should there be one tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that, Father, You would speak to that heart. God, no greater show of pride or ego than in the heart that refuses the Son of God as their personal Savior. So, Father, touch that heart here tonight. Bless Your Word. Do a work in and among us. Meet with us, we ask tonight. In Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. You can't turn very many pages in the Bible, especially the Gospels, without coming upon this subject of prayer. As we have been going through the Gospel of Luke and noticing His earthly ministry, we find time and time again the Lord Jesus Christ is praying. It is His prayer in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1 that the disciples beheld that caused them to go to the Lord and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." The Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't want to say this derogatorily, but He was a praying man in His humanity, in His flesh as He was down here on the earth. He was one that had constant communion with the Father. And not only did He have it, but He was an example for you and I. The disciples saw Him pray and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." He's an example of prayer for you and I. And we've talked about how often He prayed and how much His earthly ministry was bathed in prayer. The disciples asked Him how to pray, and He even said here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." See, God expects us to be praying people. God doesn't require us to be praying people. He expects us to be praying people. Notice here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5, He said, "And when thou prayest." He didn't say, "if thou prayest." He just took it for granted that if you're saved and God is your Father, you're going to want to talk to Him. Brother Sam Gipp, every time he begins a sermon, every time he's preaching publicly, I don't know how he prays in private, but I know every time he leads prayer in public, he begins by saying, "Our Father." And then he says, "It sure is great to call You our Father." It's a wonderful relationship we have with God, that we who once were enemies of God and at enmity, the Bible says, of God, and afar off from God, now can call Him our Father. With that privilege and responsibility of prayer, we ought always be praying. Here in Matthew chapter 6, also in verse 7, "But thou, when thou prayest," verse 7, "but when ye pray," the Lord expects of us to pray. When He told His disciples here how to pray, He said in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And He gave them what is called a model prayer. Now, some mistakenly call this the Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. He's telling them how to pray. This isn't how He prayed. But He's teaching them, giving them a pattern or a model. It also, may I say, is not meant to be recited. Many times congregations will stand together and say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And you know what the Lord just said in verse 7? He said, "When you pray, use not vain repetitions." He doesn't want us to pray the same thing over and over again. And some congregations violate that very scripture by reciting this prayer that He gave as an example and a pattern. He didn't say, "Pray these words." It is a model prayer. It's an example of a prayer. And I don't have time. I was looking at some other notes I had about this prayer itself and how the pattern follows, but that's not where we're going this evening. The simple fact of the matter is God wants us to pray. How are we doing in our prayer life? The God of all creation wants us to talk to Him. What are we doing about it? If you had opportunity to talk to the President of the United States, you would take advantage of that opportunity. Whoever it is that you idolize, if we can use that word, or respect or look up to, if you had the opportunity to have an audience with them and sit down at a table and speak for any amount of time with them, you would look forward to it. You would get prepared for it. You would take every full advantage of it. You and I can communicate anytime we want to with the God of creation, the God that loved us enough to give His own Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. I'm afraid that doesn't sink into our spiritual mentality. If it did, we would pray more often. The Lord is teaching His disciples how to pray. Is there anything you've prayed for any amount of time that God has not seemed to answer that prayer? I dare say we all have to answer that by saying yes. We always don't get everything that we've asked for one reason or another. And the Bible tells us there is the importance of prayer, but it also teaches us that there is an answer to prayer. And tonight, I want to give you 7 conditions for answered prayer. How to get your prayers answered. Now, if I was a televangelist, I would say, if you'll send me $5, a donation of $5, I'll send you my booklet on how to get your prayers answered. And I could make some money off of that. But since I'm not, I'm just a minister of the Lord, and what I give is free. I'm simply going to tell you what the Bible says about how to get your prayers answered. A lot of people claim a verse in the Bible and claim that verse and say, all right, why isn't God fulfilling it? And overlook the fact that there are other verses in Scripture that correlate to that verse and have to be put together to get a whole picture. You have to look at all the items that are involved. And that does about anything. I'm reading a book right now for my own benefit called The Arthritis Cure. And it's talking about knees, and it's talking about the bones, and it's talking about the tissue that God's put there and all these kind of things. And you can't focus on any one part of it because all of it works together to make things function correctly. I'm always humored. You know, the book, Brother Gabbard, that was here a couple weeks ago, his wife is going through knee surgery. And as we sat and talked, and she asked me, she noticed my limping, and we began to talk, and she told me that I have what she started out with before she got to the point she is. And she said, this is a great book. It'll tell you what you can do, maybe to turn the tide on it and cure it so you won't have to get knee replacement surgery. So I said, all right, give it to me. I began reading it, and I thought, boy, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's a doctor, and everything's fine, and he's got this all down, and he knows what he's talking to. And it was really good until I hit this one point where he's talking about osteoarthritis, which is what this is all about. And he says, osteoarthritis is nothing new. Man had it 15 billion years ago. And I thought, oh, great, I'm going to trust my knees to some guy that thinks men were around. Then he said, dinosaurs had it 200 million years ago. All right, you got to take the whole picture together. And when they're talking about these joints and all this thing, when we're talking about the area of prayer, you can't just take one verse and claim that one verse and disregard many other verses that talk about the issue of prayer also. Sometimes people are not getting their prayers answered because they're basing all of their prayers on one verse that they have taken out and put all their eggs in one basket, when there are at least seven different things the Bible says about praying so that we can get our prayers answered. Do you want your prayers answered tonight? I want mine answered. Isn't that why we pray? In the purpose in praying? Because if we didn't want God to answer them, we wouldn't pray them in the first place. How do you get them answered? Look first of all, if you would, at Matthew chapter 7. Don't have to turn far for the first thing. How to get your prayers answered? First of all, and this is going to be really deep, so are you ready for this? How to get your prayers answered? First of all, ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know, the number one reason most people's prayers are not answered is because they're not really prayers. They think it in their head. And so they think that God's going to read their mind, which I know He can do. But He's going to read their mind and give them their needs or their desires or their wants, just by them thinking it in their head. And God says, I'm not going to do that. I want you to ask. A good father cannot meet the needs of his children unless he knows what those needs are. My kids need something for school. They're going to have to tell me what it is, because I don't have that, whatever that is, you know, that thing that I can know what's going on and know what they need without them telling. I have to be told what they need. Now, I know that I'm a poor example of the Heavenly Father, who knows the need already, but He still requires of us to ask. He wants us to communicate. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to take the time to get down on our knees or bow our heads at our table or whatever it is, and just for a moment set everything else aside and communicate with our Heavenly Father. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Keep your place there if you would, because we're not done, but look back at James chapter 4. James has a lot to say in this area of prayer. And when it comes to this thing of asking, he simply says this in James chapter 4 and verse number 2. At the end of the verse, he said, we'll not go through the beginning, the three enemies, lust and killing and fighting. But he says at the end of the verse, James chapter 4 verse 2, you have not because you ask not. You know, there are a lot of people that talk about, well, I've prayed and asked God, when they haven't really prayed and asked God. They've thought about it. It's a thought that's in their mind, but they've never taken time with the reality of praying. God does not recognize us thinking about something. He wants us to pray. When you have a need, the thing you need to do is stop and talk to God about it. When you have a burden, the thing you need to do is stop and talk to God about it. When you have a trial coming up, you need to stop and talk to God about it. A temptation coming up, stop and talk to God. Whatever it is that's going on, stop everything else, talk to God, that's prayer. But just continuing through the motions of life and thinking in our head, boy, I hope God bails me out or helps me out or gives me what I need to pay this bill or to get through this thing or that thing, I hope God does that, that's not prayer. You have not because you ask not. Now, many people will take that one verse in Matthew 7, verse 7 and say, I've asked, God hadn't given it to me. All right, then there must be more than just that verse, shouldn't there? If they say, I've done verse 7, asking it shall be given to you, I've asked and asked and asked, then there must be a problem, because God says, if you ask, He'll give it, and if you've asked and He hasn't given it, there's got to be a problem there, and may I guarantee it's not on God's side? So there must be a second requirement for answered prayer. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 22. Asking is not the end of receiving. It is the beginning of a prayer life. It is asking, but there needs to be more done than that. Notice Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 22. And Jesus said here, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, now He puts a new word in there, believing, ye shall receive them. All right, now he adds a requirement to just that ask and it shall be given to you. He says in verse 22, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer. He doesn't say ye shall receive. He says that everything you ask believing, thou shalt receive. When you and I are reading through the gospel accounts and reading through all the miracles of healing that the Lord Jesus does, the centurion comes from Capernaum all the way to Galilee and talks to Jesus and says, my son that's back at home is sick 22 miles away, but I know that if you say the word, he'll be healed. He's already got the faith. He's already believing. I know that if you say the word, he'll be healed. He's not only asking, but he's asking believing, and the son got healed. Bartimaeus asked that his sight might be returned to him. Jesus walks by. He knows he can do it, and he asks him to do it, but he believes he can do it and calls out to him, and he gets his sight given back to him. There's more than just asking. It's asking and believing. Now, you and I know by the authority of Scripture, God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything. So the first thing we need to do when we ask is we need to ask believing, knowing that He can do what He's able to do. No one ever came to Jesus asking and believing and got denied. It worked every time. You want your prayers answered? You have to ask. You have to spend time in prayer. You want your prayers answered? You have to ask believing that God could do it. Not just throwing it out as a hope. Not just throwing it out as a wish. Some of you have brought in these little silly things that you get in the mail. The little prayer carpets. You know, somebody's sending these things out in the mail. These little, you get it in the mail, you unfold it, and it's like it's a paper, but it looks like a rug. And it says, if you will kneel down on this prayer and pray your request, you'll get it. Alright, you know what that is? That's a ripoff. That's the Greek word. It's ripoff. All right, what are they doing? They're saying, well, you kneel on this thing and you pray. Then you also have to send that prayer rug back in after you've kneeled and knelt and prayed on it with a donation to these people to cover their postage and all that. And they make money off of that. All you have to do, see the Bible answer is really so simple. People get caught up in all this wild, nutty stuff. And God just simply says, if you ask, believing, ye shall receive. Two conditions for answered prayer. How to get them answered? Ask, and ask believing. Thirdly, turn if you would to 1 John. All the way back near the end of the New Testament. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. How to get your prayers answered? Ask. Ask believing. 1 John 5:14, ask according to His will. Ask according to His will. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, notice we can't skip. If we ask anything, He heareth us. Notice the clause that's in there. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. All right, so there's asking, but then there's, I don't want to call it a disclaimer, you have to ask believing. And now the Bible says you have to ask according to His will. You know what James said there again in James chapter 4 and verse 3? He said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Sometimes the things that we ask for, we are asking for things that are not in our best interest, and we know it. It's not like it's a secret. Somebody would simply say this, well, how do I know if what I'm asking is according to the will of God? Let me answer it by saying this. You know if what you're asking is not according to the will of God. All right, somebody would say, well, I'm praying for somebody to be healed. You don't know if it's the will of God or not. Ask. You say, well, I'm asking for God to do this or do that. It might be something contrary or questionable to the Word of God. You know that's not according to God's Word. So it's not whether or not you should ask, not knowing if it is. If you know it's not, don't ask. And you say, well, nobody do that. James said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Somebody's doing that. He said, you ask that you may consume it upon your lust. Somebody was doing it. You and I want our prayers to be answered. We've got to ask according to His will. Many times you'll hear someone praying for a certain situation. God, if it be according to Your will. What is that? Again, submitting to God. Not dictating to God what He's going to do or how He's going to do it, but submitting to God. God, if this be Your will. Does God have our best interest at heart if we're His children? Absolutely. Well, and some things are according to His will, not according to ours. What was that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10 we read? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That's what He told the disciples to pray. That His will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes God's will takes a little bit of patience on our end. That's the tough part. Sometimes God's will, again, as I said earlier, God's delays are not always God's denials. Just because God doesn't answer immediately when we ask doesn't mean He's not going to answer. But He wants His will to be done. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Number four. Look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. We can't have a limited child's mentality when it comes to prayer. We can't just say, well, God said ask, and I'm asking, where is it? We have to understand the conditions for answered prayer. And we have to understand that when prayer is not answered, either it's not the will of God, or we're not meeting the conditions. John chapter 15, notice verse 16. Again, we'll go to the end of the verse. The first part continues on when he's talking about the branches and the root. But at the end of verse 16, he says this. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it you. Notice again the clause. It could have said, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, He may give it you. But there's a condition put there. That whatsoever ye ask the Father in My name, He may give it you. You know, Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Now that's talking about salvation directly. But indirectly, it's also giving us an evidence of how we get to the Father in prayer. There's one mediator between God and man. We don't pray to Mary. There's no use in praying to Mary. The Bible never talks about praying to Mary. But we do need to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that when we go before the throne of the Father asking for our needs, we have to go in the name of Jesus Christ. If you've read any of these things that are going on in our day, they're having Muslims lead in prayer at the House of Representatives or at state senates and so forth along this line. And may I say, as charitable in my Christian spirit as I can, that's a waste of time. When a Muslim stands before anybody and begins to pray, it's a waste of time. You say, why? Because if he doesn't ask in Jesus' name, there's no authority in that prayer. The authority of our prayer life comes by Jesus saying, if you ask anything in My name. When a Muslim prays and asks in Allah's name or Muhammad's name or whoever's name he might ask in, it has no authority. Heaven doesn't hear a thing. There's no basis for any answered prayer there. Those men that have bowed their heads, and ladies, if they did in the center of the Congress, while this fellow stood up there and prayed that prayer, they've wasted maybe 5 minutes of their life. Because there's no prayer going through there. Jesus said you have to ask in My name. What a narrow-minded fellow he was. But he makes it clear to us. Now, it's easy to say, well, yeah, isn't it ridiculous that those fellows would pray in the name of Buddha or Confucius or anything else? But you know what? Many Christian people are guilty of not asking thing in the Son's name. Now, I don't want to get too technical on this, but it's simply this. If we say, Lord, thank You for this beautiful day. Thank You for the food You gave me today. And please bless my life and use it for Your glory and meet my needs. Amen. When did you ask it in Jesus' name? When did you ask it in the name of the Son? There was no mention of the Son in there. There was no thing. Now, we, by tradition, I guess we'd have to say, usually end our prayers by saying, in Jesus' name. There's a purpose for that. Because it's a condition for answered prayer. May I say that? It doesn't have to be at the end of the prayer. It's not a written thing where you have to end by saying, in Jesus' name. You could start your prayer by saying, Father, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Then you could get to the end and simply say, Amen. And somebody's going to say, He didn't say in Jesus' name. You know that's going to happen. But really, and biblically and scripturally, if you came at the beginning or in the middle anywhere, the fact of the matter is that God's not going to hear an answer unless you come through His precious Son. He did not give His Son to be the propitiation for our sins and send Him down on a cross and make Him our intermediator between us and the Father. And then say, oh, but by the way, when you pray, you don't even have to bring Him up. You don't even have to mention Him. Jesus said, if you ask anything in My name. If you don't, I've heard people pray and they've never said in Jesus' name. I don't go over and ridicule them. I don't go over and mock them. I don't go over and say anything to them, but I just simply say that. That prayer will never get answered. That prayer had no feet to it. It had no meaning. It had no foundation. Because the Bible says it has to be asked in Jesus' name. It's not just a technicality. It is the fact that God recognizes those that come to Him through His Son. For salvation, for answered prayer. So if you want your prayers answered, how to get your prayers answered? You have to ask in Christ's name. Ask believing, ask according to His will, ask in Christ's name. We're in John chapter 15. Well, I think I moved too fast. Hang on. Ask in Christ's name. Look at John 14. There are other verses that tell us the same thing. We read John 15, 16. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it you. John 14 tells us the same thing in verse 13. Jesus said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we've got this Father-Son relationship, and all prayer focuses on it. And when we ignore one element of that relationship, we have no guarantee our prayers are going to be answered. He said in verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. A condition for answered prayer is that our prayers need to be asked in the name of the Son. We have to come through Him to the Father. Now number 5. John chapter 15 again, this time in verse number 7. It's going to get a little rougher now. He said, okay, I've got no problem asking. Got no problem ask believing. Got no problem asking in His name. But it's going to get a little bit tougher as we go down. Do we really want answered prayer? Do we really want God to recognize when we call out to Him? All right, here's another condition. John chapter 15, verse 7. The Lord Jesus said this, if ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. See, there are some conditions to this thing of answered prayer. God doesn't say, I'll just open the checkbook and sign My name and you just put in anything you want to. It's not just ask and ye shall receive. There are other conditions involved. And one of these, the Bible says in John 15, 7, if ye abide in Me. That word abide is an unbelievable word. It doesn't mean you just walk in Him. It doesn't even mean you just dwell in Him. When it says abide in Me, and My words abide in you, it's talking about the strength of the union between the two. Abiding in Christ is not just going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. Abiding on Christ is not just living a good, clean life as a Christian through the week. Abiding in Him means that we have a regular relationship and conversation and dedication to Him. Then our prayers are going to be answered. We can't be unfaithful to Him and expect Him to be faithful to us. Now, in some areas, the forgiveness of sins is one thing. But on conditioned things like answer to prayer, it doesn't work that way. There are conditions. It's not a blank check. We have to abide in Him. His words have to abide in us. If we have to ask according to His will, it benefits us to know what His word is, what His word says. Because we learn His will by reading His word. And the more we absorb His Word, the more we will have the light turned on as to what is according to His will and what is not according to His will, and we can steer our prayers in the right direction. Abide in Him. Look at 1 John chapter 3. I said there's 7, and this is number 6. Aren't we doing good? Number 7 has 8 sub-points under it. I'm just kidding. 1 John chapter 3. Another condition for prayer, answered prayer. How to get your prayers answered. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Now, that's a great promise and fulfillment, isn't it? Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. That would match Matthew chapter 7. Ask and ye shall receive. But notice, they give a clause after it. Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. John says here, the reason we have our prayers answered is because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We can't omit righteousness and have our prayers answered. We can't neglect our Christian duties and responsibilities and expect God to answer our prayers. You know, these things really are so rudimentary. They're so primary to everything. It's just simply this. If we do not honor Him, He will not bless us. If we do not acknowledge Him, we have no right to expect Him to be obligated to answer our prayers. One of my children are disobedient and don't do those things that I desire for them to do, and yet they come to me and say, Dad, give me this or give me that. If I'm following the biblical example of fatherhood, it's not given. The Lord doesn't reward bad behavior. We have to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Again, if you're abiding in Him and His words are abiding in you, you know what those things are that are pleasing in His sight. Now we're talking about there's some sins of omission. The next one are going to be sins of commission. But these are sins of omission. We need to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. If we're not doing those things that are pleasing in His sight, we have no promise of answered prayer. We have to be faithful in our walk to Him. We have to be faithful in His commands. It said in verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. You see, as a Christian, you can get saved. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can get born again and on your way to heaven and dust yourself off and say, thank you, God, for saving my soul. Then you can walk out the door and live your life the way you want to live it. Do what pleases you. Do what makes you happy the rest of your life and die and still go to heaven. Now, those that believe in losing salvation have a fit over what I just said. But you can do that. You'll never have a prayer answered in your life. You'll never have any victories in your life. You'll never have any peace in your life. You'll never have any joy in your life. You'll never have any comfort in your life. Those things come by abiding in Christ. Those things come by doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. Yeah, you can go to heaven and be miserable on the way. Or you can go to heaven enjoying it, submitting ourselves to what the Bible says, getting answers to our prayer. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight. If you and I want God to answer our prayers, we need to ask. We need to ask believing. We need to ask according to His will. We need to ask in Christ's name. We need to abide in Him. We need to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, all I've got to do is pronounce those words and you know what those things are. Do those things. You're here tonight. You're doing what's pleasing God on a Sunday evening. That enables you to have the confidence that your prayers can be answered. Do the same on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning next week and on Sunday night and whenever the church doors are open. You see, that's abiding in Christ. It's not holding back from the Lord and living our own life and abiding when it's convenient, but it's giving ourselves lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus Christ. Completely to Him. Doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. And then lastly, Psalm chapter 66. Psalm chapter 66. I mentioned that doing those things that are pleasing in His sight is talking about sins of omission. Not doing what we ought to do. And if we're not doing what we ought to do, the Lord says, I'll not answer your prayers. If we're not being faithful to Him, obedient to Him, He says, your prayers won't be answered. Now this one is a sin of commission. In other words, things that we do. Do those things that are pleasing in His sight. The seventh step in getting our prayers answered is to confess and forsake sin. Confess and forsake sin. Notice what it says in Psalm 66 in verse number 18. David wrote here and said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There has to be a time. I don't think I'm the only one like this. There have been times when I have been praying and I have been asking God, and God has said, what about that? What about this? What about that other thing? When I'm in an attitude of prayer and God points those things out, if I don't confess them and forsake them, I might as well stop praying. Because as long as I'm holding back something from God in obedience to His Word, God says, why should I answer your prayer? God is not the 21st century parent. It just makes me ill to my stomach for disobedient children to be rewarded by their parents. The parent, you can go in the store and the parent will say, now don't you do that, or you won't get this, or you won't get that. And they continue their bad behavior. And mom or dad, buys the sucker. Mom or dad goes and gets them the sucker, whatever it is, and gives it to them anyways, in spite of the bad behavior. God doesn't do that. God says, you want a reward, you want a blessing, you want something given, then you have to confess and forsake your sins. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I don't want to waste any of my time in prayer. I don't want you to waste your time. When you get down with your church prayer list and you start praying through that thing, and you start going through our church family, and you stop at the top and start going down through that, I want you to be able to get a hold of the ear of God when you're praying. And so God hears you when you pray, especially for the pastor and his family. I want God to hear you when you're praying for them. You get down to Brother Jim, then you get to Roy and Dixie. And if you do it like I do, just go right down the prayer list. When you're doing that, I want God to bend His ear to hear your prayer. So you know what? If you're regarding iniquity in your heart when you do it, those prayers hit the ceiling and bounce right back down. You're not praying for anybody. You're not getting through to heaven. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, I think the main two reasons for unanswered prayer are the last two. I don't think the main reason is not because we don't ask, though that is a reason. Not because we don't ask believing, though that is a reason. Not that we don't ask in His name, according to His will, or abiding in Him. Seems like the farther we go down the list, the bigger the thing is. And the more is the reason for unanswered prayer. God did not stop by saying, ask and ye shall receive. He gave us some conditions for answered prayer. And yet at the whole time, God as a loving Heavenly Father is saying, please meet these conditions. I beg of you, child, meet these conditions. I want to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I want to give to you, shaken and running over, as we saw in Luke chapter 6, verse 38 this morning. I want to give to you, running and shake it over, more than you can handle. God wants to give it to us. It's been said that some of us might get to heaven and see a great big pile of blessings over in the corner and ask God what they are. And God said, that's all I had stored up for you. If you just met the conditions for answered prayer. Those were to be yours in this life. If you'd have just asked. And asked believing. And asked according to my will. And ask in my Son's name. and asked abiding in me, and asked doing those things that are pleasing in my sight, and asked confessing and forsaking your sins. If you'd have just done that, that's what I wanted to give you in this life. I wonder how much we're missing out on. God wants to answer our prayers. There's no shortcoming on His end. The shortcoming's on our end. Let's take these things that come from the Word of God. Let's examine them as we go through them. And let's make sure we put ourselves in a place where we can get answers to our prayers. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, again tonight we do thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for the richness of Your grace. We thank You for salvation provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we do desire answers to our prayers. Father, not selfish prayers, not those that we want to consume upon ourselves, but Father, our prayers for others, our prayers for the lost, our prayers for our missionaries, our prayers for one another. Father, help us not to have anything in our life that would be a hindrance to answered prayer. Help us to follow these guidelines, to submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father. Father, this is what the Christian life is all about. So, Father, help us to be serious in these areas about answered prayer. Speak to each and every heart according to Your will, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's pray.